We are sitting here today with Mano, and we are talking about his volunteer experience in Ukraine and to share some stuff there of everything he's been involved with. So I know he's from France and moved here from Barcelona, Spain, and has done quite a lot of stuff. So before we jump into this, Mano, go ahead and tell us a little bit about your background and who you are and where you came from.
All right. Hi, everyone. So born and raised in Lyon, France, on the east of the country. But left France in 2003, so a while ago now. Then I lived in the States and got degrees at Temple University in finance, risk management, and insurance. Then I kind of worked for the devil for 7 years, and it was an interesting experience. But then I wanted to do something more useful, so that's when I moved to Buenos Aires, Argentina, and I became an English teacher and started doing some volunteering. So there I was helping kids from poor neighborhoods do their homework. After that, I've done a lot of volunteering in different places. In Barcelona, I was helping homeless people. I did humanitarian missions in Cambodia. I helped a French NGO that's spreading knowledge and trying to raise awareness on climate change. And now I've been in Ukraine since June, so almost 9 months now.
Wow, that's awesome. I love how your story goes from, it's a lifestyle of volunteering and going from everything from teaching kids to now in a war zone, helping feed troops. So that's pretty impressive. What motivated you to come to Ukraine to support the war effort with all the different environments that you've been in volunteering? What was it that brought you here?
Well, the sheer, like, unfairness of what's happening here, like the, I don't know if genocide is a word that should be used, but Maybe that is what's happening. And so seeing it in the news and, watching what's happening, I really wanted to do something about it. So that was when the full-scale invasion started in 2022. I thought about coming during the summer and started looking online if it was possible or what we could do. And all I found was the big NGOs like the Red Cross and the UN, and they were basically all saying, don't go to Ukraine, go to Poland and help from the other side of the border. And I didn't really want to do that. So I decided to spend one last year doing what I was saying, the climate change conferences in France. And while I was doing that, I found a website, volunteeringukraine.com, and I saw that there were opportunities for volunteers to come here, for foreign volunteers to come to Ukraine and just help in various ways. And I was like, all right, sweet. And I had my last conference scheduled May 27th or something, and like beginning of June I was here. So it's like I gave my last conference and left, basically came here.
Great, wonderful, thanks for sharing that. Now correct me if I'm wrong, Ukraine would be the first war zone you volunteered in, am I right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So what were your initial impressions when you arrived in Ukraine? And was it Lviv you first came to?
Yeah, I first came here. Obviously, I was a bit scared because it is scary to go to a country at war when it's something you've never done before. I've traveled quite a bit in my life, but never to a country like this. Then also keeping in mind that in Lviv, you're like maybe 1,000 kilometers away from the front line. So it's a country at war, but it's not really a war zone. Like, I'm not sure I would volunteer in Kherson or whatever, like closer to the front line. Quite admirable what these people are doing, but I'm not that brave. And when I first got here, actually, fun anecdote, my very first day, so I get in, check in my hostel, and I go out. I'm like, all right, let's go check out the city. I take one step out the door and the sirens go off, and I was like, ooh, what do I do now? So I went straight back to the reception and asked the receptionist, what are we supposed to do when that happens? And she kind of laughed and was like, well, we have a shelter down there. If you want to go, you can. It's accessible. But I would advise you to go outside and see what the locals are doing. And so I was like, kind of reluctantly followed her advice and went out and ended up riding my bike for like, I don't know, an hour or something outside. And people were listening to live music and drinking on terraces and having fun, kids running around. I was like, okay, well, if the locals are reacting this way, then maybe I shouldn't be too worried. And
awesome. Okay. Great. Can you describe a typical day or week for you as a volunteer? What do you do day in and day out here?
Well, now I only volunteer at the V Volunteers Kitchen. So I was given the keys to the kitchen in September for a week. So it's been a long week because the woman who used to open the kitchen was sick. Now, unfortunately for her, her husband is really sick, so she needs to take care of him and she can't come here anymore. But so I open the kitchen every weekday at 8 a.m. And then I still teach, so I still have my online job. That's how I can support myself here. So my schedule's a bit weird. Sometimes I have classes in the morning, sometimes not. When I do now, I teach my classes from the kitchen. There's an office where I can teach. And then the afternoon is when I have more classes. And so usually I go home in the afternoon and teach my classes from there. And then in the evening, we often have dinner with fellow foreign volunteers who are here, some long-term, some short-term. And it's nice to have like this socializing part of you're doing something useful. I'm also doing my job. And then on top of it, you make friends and meet like-minded people. And that's a really cool experience. From all over the world, I should add, like there's really been volunteers from, 40, 50 different countries or something that I've met by now. Like, yeah.
That's great. Very great. What kind of challenges have you faced during your time in Ukraine, whether language, cultural, or whatever, in coming over here and staying here, and how have you overcome them?
I don't know if I would classify anything as a challenge, really. It's nothing's been particularly difficult. I found Ukrainians very helpful and happy to have foreigners here, so willing to help whenever you have, like, the visa maybe was a bit more difficult, like getting the long-term visa, but again, I had a Ukrainian friend who speaks English who helped me through the whole process, translating with administration and getting all the paperwork ready and telling me where to go and how to do, step one, step two, step three, and just follow the steps. And I found it really easy, and surprisingly.
Great. That's refreshing to hear for a lot of people that are on that last final push to come over and volunteer in person. And, I'm imagining they would build up all these things in their mind of challenges of language and culture and how do they navigate the city, like basic stuff like that. So, hey, it can be done, right?
Yeah, come on over. It's actually much easier than it sounds.
Have your perceptions of the situation in Ukraine evolved since you arrived? From what you hear in your media sources before coming to Ukraine and now having been here, has any of your perceptions evolved?
I guess in a few ways. First of all, I didn't really know much about Ukraine before coming here. Only what I'd seen in the news and read a couple of books, but that's not really the same as going to a country and living there. Mm-hmm. I found, completely unrelated to the war, but I found the food surprisingly good. Like, the food's amazing here. It's like you walk in any restaurant in the city and order whatever you want on the menu, and it's always very good. I don't know how they do it, but it's great. The people are super friendly, and in terms of war perspective, there's a couple of things that have changed for me since I got here. When I first arrived, I thought I wanted Ukraine to win the war, of course, and to, like, push Russia out. And now, having talked to more Ukrainians and having read way more on Russian imperialism and all that, I'm more and more convinced that the Russian Empire needs to be broken up, not just defeated. Just like the French Empire was, and the British Empire, and the Spanish Empire, and to stop this expansionism and this constant state of war to gain more territory, it's going to have to be broken up. So that's a perspective I didn't have when I first came here. And on a bit more depressing side, I would say, I also find talking to soldiers and meeting soldiers who come back from the front line that their discourses are more depressing and more pessimistic than what you hear in most Western media. They really need more ammo and they really need more help, and it's apparently not looking good in the front line. We saw in the news that Ukraine lost Avdiivka, 2 weeks ago, maybe 10 days ago or something. That's something I started hearing in maybe November from soldiers who had fought there, and they were like, we're not going to be able to hold it. It's eventually going to fall. And so that was not talked about in the Western media, even though here the soldiers were talking about it when you asked them. So that's something I learned from being here, unfortunately. Okay.
On a more personal note, how do you maintain your well-being and mental health while volunteering in a conflict zone? And I want to tweak that a little bit, because to your comment earlier, Lviv itself doesn't really feel like a war zone being so far from the front lines. So in an environment where there are air alarms, you know, daily, at least weekly, but most of the time daily, you have air alarms. And then interacting and engaging and meeting these soldiers and troops and hearing these stories on the streets and what have you. How do you personally keep your mind strong?
I don't know. It's a tough question. Because it is depressing, like what I was just talking about, when you hear the soldiers telling you these stories about not having enough ammo and them losing their friends and things like this. This is really depressing. That's the hardest part, being here. I guess being active and doing something, like, I'm aware that me being here or not is not going to change the course of the war. It's not me peeling 4 potatoes or shredding 7 carrots that is going to change the course of the war. Mm-hmm. But just the feeling that I'm trying and doing my part, and the socializing, like I was saying, with foreign volunteers, either while volunteering or in the evening while having dinner, being surrounded by like-minded people who are also trying to do their part, that keeps me sane and keeps me motivated to continue. And so, yeah, great. Try to be on the right side of this war, no matter how it ends.
Okay. You shared the experience of the anecdote about arriving at your hostel day one and having the air alarm. Do you have any other really memorable experiences that stand out to you amongst all others while you've been over here volunteering?
There was a missile that hit here on July 6th. And a few days after, a woman who comes volunteer at the kitchen told us that the missile hit her mom's apartment. That missile killed 10 people. And so her mom's neighbor from above, like, he's dead. The whole apartment was destroyed. Mm-hmm. Her apartment, so the mom's apartment, was pretty severely damaged, but still standing. And she asked us to come help remove the rubble. And so I went there with like 12 or 15 volunteers or something. It was a big group of us. That was quite an emotional day, being there and seeing. I remember we walked into the apartment, there's like rubble everywhere. Especially you walk into the bedroom and the bed is covered in rubble, and the missile hit like 2 or 3 a.m. I forget, the middle of the night. Mm-hmm. You're like, had she been in bed at that point, she would not be here to tell the story. Lucky for her, she was in the kitchen doing whatever, and the kitchen was fine. So she survived. But yeah, hearing that story, seeing the rubble, spending a whole day removing rubbles and trying to save whatever was salvageable from there, that was a really intense day, both mm-hmm. physically and emotionally. And
wow. On a broader scale, how do you stay informed about the broad geopolitical context of the conflict? What sources do you go to stay in touch with what the world outside of Ukraine is hearing and acting on towards Ukraine?
I don't watch the news. I listen to a BBC and NPR podcast almost daily. So, but that's not specifically about Ukraine. It's just kind of US and UK and global news. The BBC, it's the BBC Global News podcast that I listen to. So it's specifically geared towards world news, not just UK. So they do talk about Ukraine regularly, but it's not the main focus of the show or anything. So often I don't even hear about Ukraine in the news for several days, which I find a bit depressing in a way that they don't talk about it. But I also don't want to go read the Kyiv Independent every day and know about the step-by-step of each day and each battle, and that's too much. That's overwhelming.
Okay.
And there's not much I can do about it. I'm not a soldier. I don't know how to fight, so
okay.
I feel like, yeah, I'm informed enough as is.
So to kind of wrap up, I've got two questions. What is your definition of someone who cares about something? Someone says, I care about a situation or a person or a thing. What is your, how do you define caring?
Oh, that's a tough question. I guess giving your time would be the best way to show that you care, because time is the only thing that's the same for everyone. We all have 24 hours a day, no matter how rich or poor or where you come from or whatever. So if you're willing to give 2 hours of your day to do one thing, that shows that you care about it, whether it is to do something for your neighborhood or take care of your kids or whatever. Time, yeah, time would be the, and we all have time when we look at it, like, really, how much time do we spend on social media, watching reality TV shows or Netflix shows, or there's a bunch of time that we can have. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Great. And to follow up that question, do you think God cares about Ukraine?
I'm a convinced atheist.
So. Okay. Fair enough. I'm asking everybody to get the perspective. And then last final question, I guess my favorite two-word question is what else? What message would you convey to people that are, once again, in their living rooms, they've probably thought out the finances and the time off of work or in between jobs or what have you, and they want to come over and volunteer, but they just need a little extra push, which is the purpose of these podcasts. What else would you say to people out there looking to come over here and volunteer?
Well, quit Nike. Just do it. Just do it, really. Just come here and you'll find other volunteers willing to help you with whatever question you have. If you don't know which tram to get from your apartment or which apartment to rent or which restaurant to go to or which volunteering opportunity fits you best or whatever. Yeah, there's lots of other volunteers here, all willing to help you. The whole community is really friendly, so... Yeah, don't hesitate. Just come here and, come help.
Wonderful. Thank you for that. I appreciate your time, Mano. It seems that the message I'm hearing from everybody wrapping up at the end is just come. Come over here and volunteer, and the resources and support is in place to help you figure out how you can maximize your time here and be comfortable and not be overwhelmed with navigating a new country. So come here, volunteer, check out volunteeringukraine.com and International Volunteer Center on Facebook and Instagram and social media and all that. And we hope to see you soon. And once again, thank you for your time, Mano.
Thank you for having me.